So week one, I was very nervous and I was terrified.
I'll admit, I was a little bit skeptical.
Like, kind of going into it, I was nervous that I just would kind of be boring, wouldn't be useful in a long-term scenario.
The temptation to think about Rooted is to make it an equivalent with other things that you might have done in church before. The thing that's different about Rooted is that it's not like those other things, but it sets people up to live in a discipleship, followership, obedient to Jesus kind of life for a long, long time.
I like Rooted because you can't be fake. I'm good at walls, so I'm good at being fake. And it kind of strips that facade away, which is great because those ladies know me for who I am.
When I went into Rooted, I went in with a bunch of guys I didn't really know. But when I came out on the other side, we were united. And just imagine if the entire church body was united in discipleship and transformation and taking ground for the kingdom. It could be really powerful.
A lot of people walk into church and they can put on their fake happy smile faces and say that everything's fine. But when you have a group of people that know you, you feel like you can walk through anything because there's people backing you.
I can't even imagine what God is going to do through our church if people take discipleship seriously. When a whole group of us decide to get totally focused on being discipled, I think it's going to be a world-changing kind of a thing.
I honestly believe that if we would just take hold of Rooted, God will do incredible things through Compass.
So if you are not signed up for Rooted, I want to sign you up for Rooted today. There is a book, there's material that goes along with Rooted. If you just fill this out and put it in the box on your way out, the rest of it will be taken care of for you. We will follow up with you. Make sure you get a book. Those groups are forming. If you're in a small group, your regular small group is going to be doing Rooted. We've got a Wednesday and Thursday kind of y'all come group that will break down into smaller groups here on the church campus. If this week is Snowmageddon 3, don't worry. We will team up the dogs and we will sled your book to you to make sure that you have it this week. And then we'll just pick things up as we would next week as well. You never know, you could have a little video chat with your small group if you're snowed in. Pardon me? Rick's very creative. He'll figure out a way for you to have Rooted this week, one way or another. That's the kind of guy he is. So, I want to root for Rooted. I want to encourage you to get into Rooted if you're not already signed up to do it. Don't miss the great experience we're going to have together as a church.
Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built up on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness.
So Rooted, I'll be sharing messages the week before you cover them in small groups. My goal is to cover the core of what you'll talk about together and experience together in your Rooted group, but I'll also kind of add in and bring a few extra things to you each week on the subject matter. Today is just, what is Rooted all about? Well, I'll tell you this, Rooted is a very important thing for a plant to do. And I believe it's a very important thing for a Christian to do. Let's go back at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. He says, you, and I wrote in we, must continue to follow him, Jesus Christ. That's what being a Christian is all about, isn't it? It's about following Jesus. I-A-N at the end of the word means a little version of. So to be a Christian is to be a little version, so to speak, of Jesus. So we've come to faith in him, or we're coming to faith in him, and then we want to continue in that. Then Paul says, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built up on him. Got to have good roots if you want to have a good tree. If you have a good tree, what's going to happen? You're going to have good fruit in your life. And interestingly enough, and I'll share a story in a moment, it has everything to do with the roots. It has a lot to do with the roots. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving for what God is producing in you and through you. Now that sounds a lot like what Jesus says in John chapter 15, doesn't it? Jesus says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. When you produce much fruit, you are truly my disciples. You are my true disciples. So let me ask you this. Couldn't you use some more positive product in your life? You know, almost every single commercial that you watch, every advertisement that you read is suggesting to you that there's a product that could add to your life, make your life more fulfilling, make your hair bouncy and shiny. And those are all products that want to positively add into our life. And so as we selectively make our way, we select things, we choose things that add positive product to our life, positive results to our life. Paul is saying that you should produce some really good fruit. Remember, we looked at Galatians 5, 22 and 23 a few months ago. And Jesus comes back and he says the same thing. You're really designed to produce really good fruit. Paul says to produce good fruit, you need to be rooted and grounded, built up in Jesus Christ. Jesus makes it clear, you need to stay attached to me. The old school word for it is you need to abide in me. You need to stay connected to me, because the nourishment that comes out of the ground into the fruit comes by way of the roots and the branches. Now, I'll let you be the judge this morning. How's your life? Is your life producing an abundant crop? A big crop or a little crop? Got a lot of fruit or a little fruit? If you're like me, if we're like one another, we've got some good fruit in some places, and we could use some more fruit, some better fruit over here. We don't have to add positive product to every area of our life. We just need some positive product over here or over there. It's almost always a certain relationship, circumstance, or setting in life. And big surprise, it's usually a challenging one. It's usually a difficult one. It's one where it's hard to come up with a solution, an answer, an alternate path that seems to be better. Now, God made us a little incomplete for a reason. He made us a little incomplete so that we find our completeness in him. And as I mentioned, at Christmas time, we try to put a lot of things in that God-shaped vacuum, that God-shaped piece to the puzzle of our life. And not all of what we throw into that space in our heart, mind, and soul is really good for us. It's really not very good fruit. It's not a very good result. And it's clear from what Paul says and from what Jesus said that he wants us to develop, grow, produce good things both inside of us and through us out to other people. Here's what Jesus says in John 10:10. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, the word here, rich, is not tied to monetary in illustration. I wish I could raise my hand, become a Christian, and become a millionaire all at the same time. Wouldn't that be great? Everybody'd want to be a Christian, at least till they got to the bank. The word rich there is like something that's creamy. Something that is so good you can only eat little bits of it at one time. It has a richness to it. And I ask you this morning, does your life have a richness to it? Would you say that your life is satisfying? Now, some would say, mine is just absolutely great. Why do I need Jesus? And the answer to that simply is, you can move your life to a higher key. As good as it is, there's more fruit to experience in life, both inside of you and through you, as God does what God does. So it makes sense. Let's see, the roots impact the vines and branches, which impact the fruit that you produce. So here's my great story. Perhaps you've heard me say this one before. In my first church, I had a little more time. I was a youth pastor, so I had some specialized trees and then a pretty good-sized garden that I grew vegetables in all year round. I loved to garden, and I experimented with different kinds of varieties of vegetables and things like that. I had some specialized trees, a trigraph nectarine tree, a bigraph plum tree, and then I had this bigraph apple tree. It was a golden delicious tree that had some Washington red branches grafted into it. So I'd get red apples and I'd get yellow apples at about the same time. Well, this darn tree, all my other trees were doing great. This tree wouldn't produce fruit. It got limbs, it got very big leaves. It had big leaves, green leaves. Finally, one of the guys I knew, his name was Boone, he ran the local nursery where I lived, and I asked Boone, I said, dude, can you come by my house? My tree's not working. He says, well, what do you mean it's not working? I said, it gets big, you know, limbs and leaves, but it won't blossom, therefore I'm getting no fruit. He said, So he came over to my house, and you could tell he was a horticulturist. He had his clippers on his belt, right? Up here, it's your Leatherman that you put on. So he which one? Is it this one? I said, yeah, it's that one. Can't you see? He goes, oh, yeah, I can see. He says, you got a ladder? A ladder? Sure, I got a ladder. He says, bring it over here. And so we put the ladder right by the tree, and then Boone ascends up the ladder, pulls out his clippers, and he's just chopping limbs off as fast as he can squeeze them. And about halfway through, I said, Boone, What are you doing? He says, don't worry, I know what I'm doing. So he finishes the job and he takes this gigantic, beautiful tree and turns it into a shrub on a trunk of a tree. Right? And I'm like pulling my hair out, Boone, what did you do to my tree? He said, Scott, it's very simple. This tree does not have deep enough roots. It has a shallow root system. And so all the energy that it grabs from the ground is all being used up in making limbs and leaves, but there's not enough energy to make blossoms and fruit. So by cutting this all down for the rest of the season, now the roots are going to grow deep. And once the roots go deep, you just watch next season. And next season, it did its limb thing. It made beautiful big green leaves. But I got blossoms, and once I got blossoms, I had fruit both colors, yellow and red. So being rooted makes a difference. It makes a difference. The roots, abiding in Christ, those roots, as they go deep, they cause us to produce fruit in our life. Good spiritual things happen in us and through us. Now, I think there's a journey we all go on when it comes to our root journey. And let me just take you through it real quick. I think most of us start out, we're a little skeptical about the whole Christian thing. Especially up here in the Pacific Northwest. You know, this isn't the South. Everybody doesn't call one another ma'am and sir. They don't go to church on Sunday. And yeah, we don't do it. And so I think people are skeptical of Christianity. The beginning journey is to actually get somebody here who is a little skeptical and encourage them to make the move, to grow from being standoffish to at least leaning in, to becoming a consumer. Now, I've said that around other pastors, and it's like they flip out. If I say marketing the church or consumerism, that's not what the church is all about. I said, no, it isn't what the church is all about. But if you don't tell somebody, they don't. I live in the Pacific Northwest. People don't. The best kept secret in Squim is this worship service. And it was proven again in December. One mother came and she said, I've lived here for 12 years. I never knew there was this great of a worship service in a church in Squim. Now, an aside, you know why that's the best kept secret? Because we're not inviting other people. We're not telling other people. So I think the first thing is to get people from being skeptical and standoffish to the place in their life where they are what? They're consumers. I hope people show up here with the idea that I need something and I think somehow I can find it here in the church. The negative stereotype of a church is the last time you're going to get your spiritual, the worst place to try to get your spiritual needs met is in a church. Take your shirt off, run around a bonfire, go up into the hills, do this or that. That's the way to light your spiritual path to this supreme being or whoever it is up there. I hope people come and they say, I need something. Something is missing in my life. I feel like I've been created incomplete. I have this stress, I have this problem, I have this depression. And so I'm coming and I'm looking. And I know every single week in this church, there are people that show up and they are watching what it means to be a part of the Christian community. They're looking. They're hoping that they will find what they need. And I know they need Jesus. The next is a movement away from being a consumer to being connected. That's why we talk about connecting so much. We need to connect. We need to move from complacency to consumerism. Check it all out, see, taste it and see what it tastes like. And then we need to move to a greater connection, because that's where we really discover it one way or the other. One way or the other. Is this what I'm really looking for? Is this what I yearn for? Will this be a rich and satisfying experience or not? That happens when we finally get connected. Hang out with each other. Start having some conversation with one another and gathering around the Word of God. We are a church, if you didn't know it, we're a church that tries to leave the bar as low as we can for everybody to come in and still believe in things. And we believe in things. Profoundly, ultimately. But we understand how important the connection element is. We want to leave the bar as low as we can. Not a lot of expectations of you. Because you come a little standoffish and then it's a little challenging to get connected. Once you get connected, now you understand. Now you're getting it. We need to actively move. Get ourselves from just being connected to being committed. Committed. I can tell you, we got a commitment problem in this church. And it rides on two sides. One is we're dating Jesus, but we won't marry him. Let's put it that way. We got a lot of daters. We don't have a lot of marriages. And on the other side, we're committed to a couple people, but we're not committed to the community as a whole. And as Jesus calls us in commitment to himself, he calls us in commitment to one another. And I know that commitment's a little scary. And the truth is it will cost you some of your time, talent, treasure, and touch. The four resources everybody has. Now here's what I think we're most scared of when it comes to church. And that is that we'll move from being committed to compelled. Compelled, I'm going to turn in, I'll use an old term, I'm going to turn into a Jesus freak, aren't I, if I hang out with these people. I'm going to start speaking all sorts of language that no one knows. You're redeemed in the blood of Jesus. What? But I understand it. I understand what it means to be compelled about something. And I'll be very clear, if eternity is in the balance, we need to be compelled. I do what I do because I am compelled to do it. Why? Because I think people are choosing in this world whether they're going to spend eternity in hell or in heaven. And I'm not the one that makes the choice, but I am going to do everything I can to influence someone in that direction. I'll even send out postcards if that gets people to come. See, the real fruit of a relationship with Jesus and one another is there's a compulsion there. We're compelled. What are you compelled that you could not stop doing? You know, everybody's got something. Everybody's compelled by something. It might be still making money. It might be some activity. It might be an artistic endeavor. We are compelled there. We cannot imagine our lives without doing that. And there's a point where we become compelled in a very good way, in a very profound way, in a very passionate way. Because we realize that in all of our counters, eternity is in the balance. Eternity is in the balance. Now, what I'd say, depending on where you are in the journey of discipleship, of being rooted, don't let where you have to go keep you from being where you are. You know, a lot of times we see that compelling nature of Christianity as a very high mountain, and we don't want to do the hike. If you don't do the hike, you don't have the vistas. And don't worry about the top, just worry about moving from where you are to where you need to get next. And don't be surprised that as you get moving, you might find yourself becoming quite committed to Jesus and to the others in this church called Squim Community. And don't be surprised if you become compelled about something beyond what your primary interest is in life. Because the fact is faith integrates into our life, but it does become the greatest indicator because it's eternal and not just temporal. It's real not only now, but it's real for all eternity. Well, it's the vision of our church. We're encouraging unchurched people and de-churched people. That's somebody that used to go to church but doesn't go to church anymore. We're encouraging them to join us as we become fully devoted followers of Christ, rooted disciples in Jesus Christ. And it takes some encouraging. Went to a party over the holidays, and as I walked in, one guy was just like cussing and swearing, and at one point he finally asked, "Well, what does he do?" And, "Well, he's the senior pastor of Squim Community Church." He looks over at me and goes, "Can I say that on live stream?" I guess I did. Now, here's the deal. He is who he is, right? It's not offending me. Why? Because that's the way people talk that aren't in church. And so we talk, and I ask him questions about what he did, and he was big high-powered scientist and businessman, and then I hear about his spiritual journey, and I get it. Okay. You and I started out the same, and I know why you went that way, and I went my way. And I really didn't give the rest of the night a thought. 10 minutes before I get ready to leave, he says to me, "You got a business card?" A business card. I'm at a party. Let me go out to my car. I know I have one hidden in my wallet. And I said, "Well, why would you like my business card?" He says, "Can I call you, and can I talk to you about God? I've been away from God for a long time, and as you can tell, I'm not getting any younger." No, you're not. And I said, "Of course, I'd love to sit down. I'll take you to lunch. Be happy to talk with you about God. That's some stuff to sort out at this stage of life." Compelled. Compelled. Do I want to encourage? Now, he's not ready to show up here on Sunday morning. So I'll meet with him for lunch, and then I'll invite him to come and check you all out and see what this is all about. All right, let's keep moving. The rooted journey has 7 rhythms to it. And I'm going to just skip past all the other stuff about grapes. If you go online, you can see that if you want to grow good grapes, I found an article, it says 7 essentials for growing good grapes. Isn't it interesting? 7 things. And if you do those right, what kind of grapes are you going to have? Abundant ones, big ones, juicy ones, tasty ones. Ones worthy of being made into wine or jam or whatever you want to do with it. Here are the rhythms. Here are the rhythms we're going to go through in Rooted. Number one, we're going to have a daily devotion. They're not long. Take you about 10 minutes to get your devotion done. And I've read through all of them, and they're all really very good for each day. You're going to pray. Maybe you're not a big prayer. It'll help you learn how to pray, how to have a conversation with God. And we're going to talk about that, how to have a good conversation with God. Then freedom from strongholds, that's when most people don't know what that's all about. But do you believe that there's evil in the world? Yes. Well, that evil needs to be addressed in life. Addressed in our life, addressed out there. It's not surprising to me that the big snowstorm is going to come the week we start Rooted. That doesn't surprise me. And I've warned the staff, man, get ready, because evil does not like it when a whole bunch of people want to do good towards Jesus. We know about evil and sin because it binds us up. It drags us down in life, and we need freedom from that. The next is we're going to talk about sacrificial generosity, not easy giving of our time, talent, treasure, and touch, but sacrificial giving of those resources in our life generously, happily. We're going to serve our community, those around us, and those outside of the walls of the church, so to speak. And we've done a lot of service of our community. We're going to do some more. Yeah, we're going to get ready for Beautiful Day and a few other things that we might aspire to do as rooted disciples of Jesus Christ. You're going to share your story. Here I am at a party, and what I heard was the guy's story. And who he was his story, wasn't he? An accumulation of those things where he took hits in life and where he had successes in life. Your story is important. God wants to use you and your story, so to speak, as God does what God wants to do. And then finally, we're going to celebrate together. I think the people who should have the best parties around are Christians. And you do. You have some great parties. Thank you for inviting me, by the way. Because they're a lot of fun. So we're going to celebrate together as well. Here's what Peter says, and leave this. I want to leave this with you in your minds as you head out today. We got one more song coming, I believe. Yes, yes. One great song coming. Absolutely. Grow, continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge. God didn't come to condemn you. He came to forgive you. And that's all about grace. That's about receiving grace and showing grace to others around you. You have to grow in the knowledge, because go back to Colossians, and we're rooted into what? The truth about Jesus Christ, not the false, not what I think, but the truth about Jesus Christ. What that truth, how that truth impacts us in such a positive way when we personalize it and internalize it in our life. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. See, He saves us first. That's the eternal part. And then He's our Lord. He leads us every day. See, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, He's the only Savior of the world. And He makes the most profound and loving and full and fruitful Lord to lead you each and every day. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm thankful that You opened the way for us to be in relationship with You. You're the one. You're the one that came as a baby. You did miraculous things as You lived as a man. If we didn't know that You were total God and total man at the same time, we figured that out in Your death and resurrection. You didn't deserve to die, but You did it for us. And in Your resurrection, You bring resurrection to all the dead places in our life. And ultimately, in our death, You promise to resurrect us so that we can worship You not only now, but for all eternity. Amen.